Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
That's right, Michael Matsuda. Always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody, to the Martial Arts Talk Radio program. I'm your host, Danny Venna. Tonight, we're going to be using this episode of Martial Arts Talk Radio, and not only is it going to be archived on the Blog Talk Radio site, but it's also going to be archived and linked to my YouTube channel. So everything we say tonight will be not only available on Blog Talk Radio, but it will also be available via Google Hangouts on my YouTube channel. So welcome, everybody, Renchi Timmy Prisk, to the program. He is on the wire and live on the air, Martial Arts Talk Radio. Sensei, how are you?
Good evening, everybody.
So we have right now several people in the Google Hangout listening to us. So everything that we say, of course, will be saved and uploaded onto my YouTube channel so that we can have those links as well to blast out. So on the Google Hangout section of the program is Tim and Omar. So both of you, if you'd like, you can say hello. Omar, are you there? Not yet. Okay, so Omar's not with us yet. Now, if we get any live callers, I'll have to break into the conversation. But what I would like to start the topic off with tonight is the continuation of, is the sword mightier than the pen? Now, I believe we have a 631 caller on the wire. If I'm not mistaken, this should be Sensei Gregory Melita. Hold on.
Yes, how are you?
Sensei Greg, is that you there?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, good. Thanks for joining us.
You got it.
So now that you are on the wire, I will retract what I just said and pick up where we left off the other night on when it comes to cross-training. Now, I know that Sensei Timmy Prisk, who's also joined us on the program, would like to say something about that. So I'm going to let Timmy take it first, and then we'll go to Gregory. So, Sensei, give me your feeling and give me some of your experience when it comes to cross-training that you started in the issues.
Well, cross-training in the sense of training different systems, cross-training in the sense of this new, this new kind of getting yourself healthy, you know, and this new program of cross-training, and in which sense were you guys speaking? Unfortunately, I was feeling a little under the weather and missed a few shows, so.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but, yeah, Sensei Greg, maybe then what we will do is we'll let Greg pick it up, because then he can explain exactly what he was talking about. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, please, perfect.
Sure, yeah. We're basically talking about cross-training in the sense of, you know, other systems and how it's frowned upon in some environments, you know, and
okay.
As far as a teacher-student relationship, you know, in some environments it's encouraged, but then you know, you also don't want to be encouraging the student to just be training anywhere, because then they'll get into some bad habits. Maybe, you know, maybe the student is maybe the student isn't experienced enough yet in the one style, you know. And you know, that's, I definitely believe that you don't want some brand new white belt just jumping around to 18 different martial arts.
No,
you know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
But
I definitely want
to be smart about that.
I could definitely speak a little bit on this. Back when I was younger, I was probably either a green belt or a brown belt. I was very interested in getting into Gracie Jiu-Jitsu because of the popularity of it and what I saw, you know, how it was used. And I had attended a few seminars with Hoist Gracie, and I actually got a few patches sent to me from some of the Gracies. And when I put these patches on an extra gi and on off time, not dojo time, not class time, on off time, I was, you know, going over some moves with some other students. One of the teachers came in and decided that he would make an example of me, I guess is the best way to say it, and scream at me, belittle me in front of everybody that was there. Why do you need to learn that shit? Excuse my language, everybody. This is a karate school. You want to learn that shit, you go to that school. And this is the way I was talked to, just because I wanted to expand my knowledge. So, you know, coming up, we didn't have that option. It was either you went to the karate school or you get out and go somewhere else. As time went on and I had decided to leave that particular dojo back in, I believe it was the end of 2000, the end of 99, early 2000, my sensei, who I had been with for a long time, decided to open his own school. And what he did for us was actually bring teachers of judo, of jiu-jitsu, of kung fu to the dojo and allowed them to actually have time at the dojo, have their own classes, but also gave us the option of working with them. And that's something that a lot of others didn't even offer. It wasn't even a chance. It was either, you know, you're here for karate or you're not. I myself have always believed that you learn from every art. Master Don Nagel has also said that in an interview he did with the Legends of the Martial Arts DVD, I believe it was called, or Grandmasters in Action or something like that it was called. And his exact words were, it doesn't matter what martial art you're in, you learn from any of them. And that's the truth. So, you know, that's basically how I feel about it. I feel it's definitely, you can't be a one-sided fighter. You can't be just stand-up. You can't be just jiu-jitsu. You, without the whole package, you really aren't a complete fighter.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I mean, we actually brought up the fact that studying other arts, you know, intelligently, you know, meaning finding out the right instructors and what styles you want to study when you already have a base somewhere, it's only going to enhance and, you know, enhance your understanding. But really, it really gave me a really much appreciation for Isshin Ryu and Tachiro Shimabuku because of what he did with karate and how he made it how he did, you know, because I always like to say what the Gracies did with jiu-jitsu, you know, and put the extra leverage in there and you know, try to be minimize the strength, maximize efficiency. That's exactly what Tachiro Shimabuku did with karate, in my opinion. You know,
hey guys, I just want to make sure we don't talk about ourselves, because there's been a rumor going around that we do nothing but talk about ourselves on our shows. So, hey, no talking about ourselves tonight, all right, guys?
Yeah, let's keep that under wraps, all right? Let's not talk about our experiences.
Yeah, let's not boast ourselves as being amazing legends, all right? Let's not do that, guys.
we'll be careful about doing that. I like that point that you know, we can see correlations of what different, you know, masters and creators of styles have done, and we can come to appreciate that by studying different arts. It's not saying you're leaving your loyalty of your one style. You're just learning somewhere else, you know?
That's exactly, you know, point being, and that's exactly what it is. And that's what, unfortunately, a lot of these hardcore traditionalists don't understand. It has nothing to do with not loving the system you came from. Because if everyone wants to get technical, a guy like me actually started in Taekwondo at the age of 5 as an after-school program. So should my loyalty for, you know, the last, it'll be in about 52 minutes, will be 28 years. You know, should I have, should I have kept my loyalty to Taekwondo because that is actually where I got my first break into the martial arts? No, because my loyalty is to Ishinryu Karate, where I started at the age of 9. So, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm turning my back on it because I have the mind and the sense to learn other arts, to expand everything, you know. So that's, you know, it's always been very simple. It's, you know, I understand keeping it separate, but I also understand learning everything.
And I think it's the instructor's fear of losing a student or a student trying to exploit the style more than anything, you know what I mean? If you can establish a student's loyalty first, you know, I think that's the main thing because it just looks, you know, ignorant on their part to kind of deny these other styles, especially when all, you know, a lot of other styles have been proven out there, especially with MMA being out there nowadays, you know what I mean? So I
honestly feel that some people are, they feel insecure that student, you know, being with them for say 10 years, goes out there, learns judo, learns jiu-jitsu, learns anything else, whatever it might be, another style of karate even, goes back to that school and can then prove that teacher wrong. I think that's what a lot of people, it's their insecurities about themselves. I don't really know if they even have a sense. If they've only done karate, never done anything else, how can they even judge any other art? How can, you know, this is what my problem's been for years now. It's all these people that don't have a clue and they judge others. And you can't judge what you don't know. And it goes into saying, with cross-training, it goes into everyday martial arts life. If you don't know, you can't judge, so shut your mouth. You know, and if you're a karate stylist and your students or have been with you for years, let them go experience other stuff. Don't be afraid. They're not, you know, if you lose them, then it was meant to be that way. And if you don't and they come back and they make your dojo better, then so be it. But, you know, there's just too much, you know, I don't know if the word is greed. I don't know if that's the proper word. Or, like I said, they're just scared. They're insecure about themselves. You know, and that's the only thing I don't really know why else anybody would try to stunt a student from learning. I would suggest that any student go to a wrestling school, go to a boxing school, go to a jiu-jitsu. I mean, go learn what you can. Make yourself the best person you could be. You know, I would never say don't do this, don't do that. That's just silly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, me, when I started martial arts, I mean, you know, with Sensei Venner, when I started, martial arts always piqued my interest, but I'm sure that a lot of people, including myself, started because they had just a desire to learn how to, in the purest sense, defend yourself if you ever get into a situation. You know what I mean? That's like the base thing. And for me, and I mean, me and Sensei Venner have been talking about this since I started, it was, when I started training in the Gracie style of jiu-jitsu at Kyoto Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is the school I study under, we always said that this will be the key in a real situation because it is only going to make me utilize my Ishinryu that much better because I know how to defend the ground.
Right, gotcha.
It's not about oh, you don't want to go to the ground. Of course I don't want to go to the ground. That's the last place I want to be on the concrete. That's the last place I want to be with multiple attackers. The only way I can stay on my feet is to learn everything I can about the ground. This way I can utilize my black belt in Ishinryu, and I've always believed that.
That's you know, that's a really, really awesome way of looking at it. And until you actually do the other arts or even attempt or try, you're not going to get that sense. You're not going to understand, you know, that meaning of staying off the ground. You're going to learn what to do in case, but then you go back to where you originally came from, and you're going to learn to avoid going there. So, you know, I agree with that 100%, and that's a really awesome way of looking at it, man. That's, you know, I hope some people that are listening really understand what you're saying, and you know, don't stunt their students, because that's just, you know, it's not right.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, you have every right to see where they're training and learn on what they're learning. You know, they can tell you what they're learning, you know, but definitely don't frown upon that. What do you think, Sensei Venner?
Well, we have Grandmaster Daryl Sergeant on the line. We'll let him answer that question.
You let me answer the question? that's rough.
How are you?
How are you, sir? Good evening.
Thank you for calling in, Grandmaster.
No problem. All right. I only heard the last few minutes, so I'm not real positive of everything that you guys said. I'm thinking that you guys are talking about doing cross training. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if I'm understanding right, from the time that I entered the phone, you shared that you should have a base in one system, and then after you formulate the base in that system, then you should be open to be able to go and experience other art forms. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
For the most part, I believe that is where what we meant by base system, if that wasn't clear, is, you know, like Sensei Greg said, you shouldn't have a white belt in your school just starting, never been a martial artist before, been there a month, and then say, well, you know, I'd like to go and try that, because, you know what, that's just putting too much on a new person's plate. An established martial artist, you know, a couple of years in the same dojo, maybe possibly even a black belt status, you know, shouldn't be held back from wanting to expand his education. And somebody like myself, who was brown belt, junior black belt, I was told that, you know, if I want to go and do another system thing, to get out of the school and go do it. So, you know, that's where we left, you know, that's where we were right about there.
All right. There are some schools, and I've been to those schools too, who felt like one way is the only way. I kind of disagreed with that and kind of went on my particular journey. I believe that one thing that everybody has to understand is that everybody has a destiny to fulfill in this life, and that that spirit is going to take you where you need to go to ascertain what it is that you're supposed to do to move towards your destiny. So with that being said, then, yeah, number one, I do believe in cross-training. I mean, I have multiple black belts. So I'm fortunate to have had the opportunity to study a variety of different things, close in resemblance and also far from the initial base that I came from.
Would you ever hold a student back, sir, that came to you and said, you know, sir, I love it here, this is my home, but I would like to go and try out, say, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, or I'd like to go out and try small circle Jiu-Jitsu with the J family? Or, you know, that's I think what we were trying to say is, those people who are that way, you know, I think the conversation was leading, why are they that way? Are they that, you know, my opinion is those people are insecure that you're going to go, you're going to learn something, you're going to come back, and you could prove them wrong on facts that they have said over the years that, you know, might have been not, you know, the smartest answers or not showing to their potential. And that's where, you know, that's where I would leave it, because the people, if you're not educated in it, how could you judge it? And that's my biggest issue. If, you know, you're a karate person for 45 years, how could you sit there and tell me, no, well, jiu-jitsu don't work. How can you go, and why would you want to even go learn that? And the stuff that comes out of some people's mouth is just silly.
Yeah, you're right. I think that in part on one way of thought with that is that they have a very traditional mindset, in that they feel like you should only be with one sensei, that you can never surpass that sensei, that you can never ascertain the same level of knowledge as that sensei. That's one way that I know that they have been taught, because I've had teachers that have said that. On the other hand, no, I would not hold back, and I never have held back a student that felt like they wanted to go and try something or to go and work on something that is different than what it is that I teach. The only thing that I ask them to do is to come back and make that which we do in our school stronger. And so
that's you're an amazing person and an amazing teacher then, because that coming out of your mouth alone answers every question that we've brought up, because, you know, you have an open mind, you're happy to have your students' mind expand, and you're not trying to hold them back. So that right there, coming from, you know, somebody like yourself, is just, you know, that's the answer to exactly what we were saying. So
well, we have a caller from the 702 area code. Who's calling?
Anchi Dan Vena. This is Sean Allen Whitman.
You did make it, did you? Okay, good.
you're off the line, huh, Sheehan?
Hey, you know, I'm here. Happy birthday, Timmy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. T-minus 42 minutes, right?
That's all right. You know, that's all right.
Yeah,
you don't,
we're there.
You know. That's all right.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
You was being birthed at this time.
Yes. being
still
birthed.
Your birthday. Still your
Thank
birthday.
Thank you, brother. I very much appreciate that.
Auntie Dan Vena, I'm going to send Dana your embed code, and you should be up probably in a day or so. So
Bush.
Up on the worldwidedojo.com.
So what's your answer on that, Shihan? I mean, you're a guy who comes from some a multi-discipline background. How would you feel if you were training somebody and they said, Sensei, I want to go to this dojo and pick up this discipline? Would you have a problem with that?
No, I'd say, first of all, I said, well, who's the teacher? And secondly, I'd say, oh, if I knew him, I would give my honest impression. I'd say, oh, that's a good teacher. Yeah, you can learn a lot from that man. Or if it's a bad teacher, I would suggest, or somebody that I'm unaware of, I would suggest, opening my mouth and suggesting my students seek out, a different teacher.
So you're your opinion is one step even further. You would actually help your student go out there and find the proper person for that proper system, which is, again, it just shows the open-mindedness, and this is a Shihan who lived in Japan, who learned all the traditional ways and is still open-minded enough to offer to help a student go to the next level. And this is what these American guys that have this old school mindset and that want to stunt education, we're teachers, no matter how you slice it, we're teachers.
Well, can I give you a little, just my brief thinking on that, to be honest with you? I think that in some respect, I think in all honesty, I believe without a doubt that some of those instructors are not interested in necessarily in stunting the growth of the student or don't want that student to learn. What I think they're more concerned with is that student will leave their school after finding out, hey, there's something more than what you're teaching, that you don't know everything.
So you think more of the insecurity.
Yeah, there's a lot of teachers that are just, insecure about their teaching. And that, and some of them with good reason, to be honest.
Yes, that's
good reason. Some of them don't know what they're doing, so they're going to get showed up. Or a student, how can a student approach their student? Hey, their teacher say, at the jiu-jitsu class I was doing this thing, and this teacher goes, I don't know about that.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes them feel uneducated, which is really their own fault. If the teacher was a true artist, then, maybe he should step into the other dojo and become a student again themselves.
And again, Sensei McGrath took us, and both, not only did he invite his friends to our dojo, but he also took us to other dojos to cross-train. So I guess that's the way we did it back in the day. We didn't go to another dojo. We just went with our sensei to go, share with all of his friends that came from all different disciplines and backgrounds.
Well,
so,
in all my dojos I've ever had, and I've had quite a few, I've had like 8 from coast to coast. 9 if you count Japan. in all my dojos, I have always had the mindset of bringing in other instructors from other styles. I've hosted seminars in my school, on my dojo floor, with Shihan Joe Miller, with Robert Nadeau, with Joe Lewis, with Ted Lukailakai, with Ramiro Estu, Grandmaster Estalia, with Grandmaster Leo Hiron.
That's how it should be done. That's definitely how it should be done, because it's, taking it the other way, saying, hey, I don't know so much about that. Come and do a seminar. That's how it should be done.
How do you think I got into Eskrima? It's like, man, I allowed another teacher who was looking for a place to hold the seminar. His facility kind of went, way as a dodo bird at the last minute, and they needed a place to host the seminar. And
I was with lunch. I was at lunch with Ted Lukatakai, and he was telling me about his student who wanted to needed the space for the seminar, and I wasn't into Filipino arts that much at the time, and I you know, I was like, yeah, sure, you can have my dojo. It's fine, you know, use it. I'll have my students come, and maybe they'll learn something new. And that's where I met Grandmaster Leo Giron and Grandmaster Ramiro Estelia, who became, you know, my Esgrima and Arnis instructors for years. And, yeah, I am never of the mind where, like, I can't get on the floor and learn something, ever. Mm. Ever, whether it's Esgrima, even in my own art, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
Get on the floor and learn something. I'm never too smart for that, let me tell you.
Mm. Hell no.
I appreciate
great.
That, and thank you.
Well, that's my 2 cents.
Well, it's valuable 2 cents because...
cent and a half taxes.
Even the Grandmaster agrees that, you know, you should be able to... pick up other knowledge from others.
Well, you got to focus on your core knowledge, too. A lot of times, since people have left their teachers so soon, they cannot go as far in depth with the information that they already have at their disposal. And sometimes it takes them going outside of that to come back in and reanalyze what they already have. I mean, case in point, if you look at Nahanchi, people will say Nahanchi was some kind of kata on a wall. Yeah, that's fine. When I do Nahanchi, I look at Nahanchi as a floor fight, as groundwork, because every single core movement in Nahanchi takes me to every single core movement that you find in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But then how would you know that if you didn't study groundwork, if you didn't understand
exactly
how to
it's really funny. It's really funny you brought that up, sir, because there's actually a person I met within the last 2 years that actually told me, do your Nihonshi, because I just was able to start training again in the almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years next month. You know, very lightly, I had a few injuries a few years back, and, you know, doing what I can. And this gentleman said, well, if your stance work is hurting on your feet, you could do Nihonshi on your back. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, what does he mean by that? Mm-hmm. Until I actually did it. And when I did it, it all made sense. And
well,
it really is funny that you said that.
Core stance training is that which to develop your hips and your leg muscles and to understand your twisting motion from the top. And so when you're working from your horse stance, you're actually working on your guard, you're working on your half guard, open guard, whatever the heck you want to do. You're
right.
Working on that type of element. And then when you're shifting and your movement from when you're hitting your elbow over, in essence, you got your body twisted in the position that you would if you were going to be on the bottom of that guard and or
right.
in the guard, and you would be turning them and doing the sweep. So all you
yeah,
got to do
yeah.
is implement that on the crossover, and then you got chokeouts. So if you really understand and go into depth with the understanding of core movement, when I focus on core movement. So my job is to teach a person all the elements that they can do from a rising movement, because it's not a rising block, it's a rising principle. And if you understand it from a principalistic standpoint, you're not going to get stuck in a mono way of thinking or singular
exactly.
way of thinking of each movement. You have to go beyond that. And that's
right.
where if people leave their school too early, leave their instructor too early, or have left, then they don't have that type of information. They don't have that type of understanding.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's definitely a good point.
I wanted to just add, I'm going to get off the line after this, you guys do it, but I just think it's awesome because, you know, it's great to see the real connection, because now here's an interesting thing, is that the Ishin Ryu system that I know Hanchi Vena and Renchi Pris and Greg Malita do, is that you know, comes from the Okinawan system, and the Wado Ryu system, who comes from Shotokan, was a more northern mainland Honshu art developed by Hinoi Otsuka Osinde, and they both used the Nihonshi kata.
Hi.
What a great connection that as far south and as far north as you can get. You know, this, it shows the validity and the purpose of such a kata.
I have seen being involved with yourself and your dojo in New York City, being involved with a few Taekwondo schools, and, you know, seeing their kata. I've seen so many variations of Naihachi over the last 3 years that it's blown my mind, because it's a kata that actually is, it's worldwide. It's in almost, you know, everywhere I turn, they have some form of it one way or another. It might be under a different name, but I've seen so many different versions, so many different styles using it. It's just crazy to see.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I wish you gentlemen the best. Thank you very much, Hanshi Vena. I'm not sure who was all on the show tonight. I think that was Greg Melita, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to ISM tonight. Have a
Domo.
Great show, and I'll talk to you guys soon, I'm sure.
All right.
So
yes.
They have stopped us from broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. However, the conversation continues on Google Hangouts, because we are still going to capture the end of the program until they cut us off. And we have some other people. Tim Nelson happens to be in a Google Hangout listening to this broadcast right now. Say hello, Tim. So you have to turn your volume back up. But anyway, no, that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I definitely like the topics we were talking about tonight. And we have an extra 15 minutes or so, right, Senator Vena?
Yes.
That's good. All right, yeah. I'd just like to, you know, conclude with that, saying how the mark of a good instructor, in my mind, is somebody that we exactly talked about, you know. He's well-versed in his style, open-minded to bring other people in and learn and keep his mind open to other styles, you know, host seminars. But the real key is, you know, a lot of instructors, like we talked about, are afraid that their students will surpass them. And any instructor I've ever had, whether it be Sensei Vena or my instructor in the jiu-jitsu, he's always said he wants nothing but for me to pass him in technique, in as far as this, you know, the sparring and knowledge, because that's only going to better himself and his school. So that you know, losing that ego to be able to do that, but still be able to coach that athlete and martial artist that has the ability to surpass you, you know. I know plenty of guys that are multi-time world champions, and their instructors have not won a world championship. And that does not matter one bit. Their instructors can kill, you know, they can still coach them appropriately. And I think
Sensei,
that's very
you just used a word that we haven't used yet. The ego is what the problem is. These guys that their head, their brain, their outlook on things, it's just bigger than their actions. And that's what the real problem is. Guys that are unwilling to go out there and continue to educate themselves, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter if you're disabled, if you're not, as long as you have the willingness to get out there and, you know, get off your high horse, get off your 5th, 7th, 9th, 10th, 15th degree black belt. You know what? I would give it all away tomorrow, because you know what? It's just a belt. It's my mind that matters. And that's what a lot of these guys can't understand. These guys that are so worried about, oh, well, I'm a 7th degree black belt. I can't have my student surpass me. Well, you know what? One day, your student's going to surpass you, because you're going to be gone before them most likely. And if the student is good, they're going to continue to learn and continue to grow. So, you know, that word you use, the ego, is probably the word I've been looking for all night. You know, mm-hmm. egoless teachers, egoless senseis, egoless shihans are the right people, because they're like Shihan Woodman. They would never hold their student back, and they go above and beyond to help their student. Sensei Vena, we all have a different mindset than a lot of people. And
definitely.
That is what the problem is. It's egos. It's worrying about everybody else but themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, don't call the kettle black Gabriel, you know that saying, well, that's what 9 out of 10 of these guys will do. They will throw words around and they will jump, but yet they don't care enough about themselves to go and train more or get knowledge. I might not physically be able to do things that I could do before, but mentally I absorb everything possible. And, you know, that's really, you know, the word ego really just set me off, because that's exactly the word I've been looking for. And I wanted to add in, Sensei Sergeant, why don't you tell people how to get in touch with you or in your area and, you know, come down and train at your school, because you are one of the people that we're talking about, open-minded, willing to do anything, it sounds like, for your student, and it's a pleasure to meet you. Finally, I missed the last time you were on.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm in Oklahoma City, so anyone that wants to get in contact with me for either a class here or if they would like to have a seminar in a variety of different arts, whether it's jiu-jitsu, combat jiu-jitsu, whether it's Filipino martial arts, Kali Silat, or whether it's for Goju-ryu, Goju-ryu Karate-do, Goju-ryu Kenpo-jutsu, I'd be happy to come to anywhere in the United States to share. They can contact me at 405-367-9320 or on my website, www.moderncombatjujitsu, J-U-J-U-T-S-U, moderncombatjujitsu.com or silentwarriorartsfederation.com, and that will emphasize my Filipino side. So I'd be happy to share what
That is so great to hear. Sensei Vina, did you release that information that we were talking about the seminars? Have you spoken about any of that yet?
Xion spoke about it last night. No, on this program today.
Yeah, unfortunately, as Xion Woodman said, today is my, tomorrow, Monday, is my birthday, but my family, because it is on a Monday, threw me a little surprise get-together tonight. So I was unable to be on the show tonight, or my wife really would have killed me. So I chose the lesser of two evils and continued at the party and didn't rush everyone. So I will be back on the show Wednesday, God willing. And, you know, I just maybe we could reiterate what we're going to hopefully be able to do in the next year in 2013, sir.
Great.
Yes.
With the seminars and everything like that we've been speaking about, we're trying to get all the listeners, all the people that call in, you know, we would love to get a countrywide, I guess it would be like a seminar, like a traveling show. Is that what the basis was, Sensei?
Right now we were just trying to get to one.
Okay.
Get one or... one seminar organized, one gathering organized, and from there, based on the information that I've been getting, I've been doing a little bit of homework about trying to get sponsors, who am I supposed to talk to? Some of the things that they asked me was, how many do you have a year in order for us to sponsor you? We may want to see how many you do a year,
okay.
Only because they would like to set up, and peddle their wares at the, at the event. So,
gotcha.
I'm trying to get more and more information as the days go by, because I've never done this before. But between the coordination of Grandmaster Daryl Sargent and Xion Woodman, we're working on a couple of things, and we're supposed to, you know, find out some information, and then we're all going to talk.
I really, after hearing that news the other night, like I said, I was a little under the weather. Things had really gotten to me this week, and then, you know, everything started looking a little better. Today was a good day for me. And then hearing that news that I heard about the seminar that, you know, to stem from the radio shows, to have such great people that have called in on our show, Sidekick Talk Radio, on your show, Martial Art Talk Radio, you know, that would be so, like, mind-blowing to actually be able to have a gathering, a meeting in person coming from the shows, that I got my fingers crossed that it can come true, because it sounds like it's going to be amazing.
All we want to do is get the first one going, because once we do that, obviously we're going to learn a lot from it because it's the first one. And then since we're obligated to, you know, perpetuate the legacy of our seniors, you know, that's how it came up. In other words, you know, it all goes back to our seniors, that, you know, we want to ensure that their legacy stays alive, and how we do that is by offering it in any way we can, in any forum we can.
Well, I can't wait to, and I hope that, you know, this year it does all fall into place and it does happen, because it sounds like it would be an amazing event.
Well, these guys are movers and shakers. So between the Grandmaster and Cheon, I'm doing what they tell me to do. You know, they have the experience at it. I don't.
We're all here. We're, you know, Sensei Melita and myself, we'll do anything and everything we can. Just please ask. Don't ever hesitate to ask. I'm very straightforward. If it's a no, it'll be a no.
the key in the success of the event, sponsors and vendors help you the event. So
that's
the groundwork. If you want it to be successful, that's the groundwork. You got to get the money.
That being said, I everyone, you know, if you're interested, maybe drop us some limes on the Facebook pages, you know, show that you're interested in it, so we could actually maybe move a little more forward. And also, did we do any announcements yet, sir?
Not really. Cheon mentioned it on his program that, because I believe the Grandmaster also called into Sidekick Talk Radio today, and I think it was mentioned there, yes.
Okay, well, I know Sifu Goldberg's event is coming up really soon. It's 11 days away. Yeah, that you know, that's going to be a great event. I hope to that a lot of the listeners of both shows are there. Please stop by the booth, see us. We're going to have the radio show live from the event. Yeah, 2013 is panning out to be a very good year, I hope, for everybody. I hope that our listeners stay positive. We don't have negative listeners out there that, you know, that want to bring us down, or bring the you know, the martial arts in general down. That's my biggest thing for this year.
The only way we can let them bring it down is if we allow it, you know, to stop us from doing what we're doing. So,
well, or if we keep talking about ourselves, damn it.
I joke very much know about that, but.
Yeah. but on a good note, this was an amazing show, and I know we probably got about 3 minutes left before they actually cut us off in full. I want to thank you very much for inviting me on again. I really appreciate it. I want to let you know, you and Greg, you know, when I can stay up this late, the show is great. I enjoy it. When I can call in, I enjoy speaking to both of you guys. And again, Grandmaster Sergeant, a pleasure to meet you, an honor to meet you.
Oh, you too, and God bless you, and, you know, keep training.
Thank you, sir. I do whatever I can, whenever I can.
Right. Hey, Han, can I just announce that we're having the first annual Grandmaster Billy Davis Memorial Seminar in February?
Yes, please.
We're going to have the first annual Grandmaster Billy Davis Seminar in February 24th. In Elizabeth, New Jersey. Please feel free to email me. That's F as in Frank, O-S, S as in Sam, F-O-S, V-P, 2012@gmail.com. F-O-S.
When is it, Grandmaster Sergeant?
It will be February 24th in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
I'm gonna hit you up on Facebook if that's okay. I'd like to speak to you. I'm only about 15 minutes from Elizabeth. I'm in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Oh, no problem. Just give me a call if you want to. I'll be up. That'd be 405-626-5171.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's as soon as we get off the line here, I'll give you a holler. I'd definitely love to attend and meet in person and talk and everything like that.
All right, we'd love to have you.
Great.
Gentlemen, thank you very, very much for calling in and supporting this effort. Us.
Hey,
us.
You got it.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, that's the conclusion of our show. What an amazing show tonight. Again, this thing is really, really starting to make an impact. And I will close. Oh, they cut me off.